Welcome to 100% Canucks. I'm John Shannon. That's Landon Ferraro. Another week goes by in the offseason. Summer, I hate to say it, summer's going quickly already, Landon. I don't know what to do about it.
It's amazing how, like, you wait all, especially spring, as you bounce between the weather. You're waiting for it all the time. And then all of a sudden, you're like, we're already halfway through July. Like, where did it go again? It's finally getting nice in Vancouver consistently, and you don't want that to leave that quick.
Well, I tell you what, I haven't got to the Okanagan yet, so that's going to happen, and we're not going to have any arguments about which is nicer, the Kootenays or the Okanagan, because your dad and I have that argument all the time, and I win every time. So,
yeah, by saying the Kootenays?
No, by saying the Okanagan. So today's guest is Connor Garland, who... actually, before we start the interview, he reminded me that he and I did meet a long time ago, 10 years ago at the Memorial Cup in Quebec City when I was on the panel. And he was a member of one of the awards that was going on when he was playing for the Wildcats in his final year. So I'm glad he remembered, because I didn't remember. I'm usually pretty good at that stuff, Landon, because I'm a hockey geek. I try to remember everything. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. It made me quite happy realizing that you didn't remember. It makes me feel better about my memory, right? Like, I know you're a steel vault for the most part, but no, like, I was really excited to talk to Garland here. And, you know, there's not a ton of players that you can watch a regular season game, and it doesn't matter which month it is, what number of game it is, that just by the way that they play, like, you can feel the passion that they have for the sport. And Garland's one of those guys. That's why, like, he's one of my favorites to watch. He doesn't give up on a puck anywhere. He's just an engine that keeps going, but you can see how much he loves it. Like, that's one of the main things that I really, really respect and enjoy about watching him as a Vancouver Canuck.
Well, let's enjoy talking to him as a Vancouver Canuck. Connor Garland with Landon and John on 100% Canucks in a moment. Welcome back to 100% Canucks. John Shannon here, Landon Ferraro in Vancouver, and joined somewhere in New England. I won't really disclose the actual location, but somewhere in New England is Connor Garland of the Vancouver Canucks. Connor, welcome. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, Marshfield. I used to live in Scituate, but I've moved to Marshfield the last few years. So.
Well, we're going to talk about the Boston Bruins in a few moments, and your fandom of the Bruins at some point. But it's been about 2 weeks. Time to reflect on your new contract with the Canucks. What's your feeling as you look back and all the negotiations are done, and you can enjoy your summer?
Yeah, I'm very excited. It seemed like it was going to get done for a while, so I was at ease for a long time. Very excited about the future. It's obviously nice. It's to have a place to call home, be in the same organization. To be one of the core pieces there as someone who was overlooked in a draft and then taken in the fifth round to be where I am now as a 29-year-old and to be with the same team for such a long period of time is something I don't take for granted.
Overlooked in the draft. That sounds like there's a few grudges still there.
No. I was passed over in 14. And then I was fortunate to go in 15. So, no grudges. I'm just glad it all worked out.
Was there a moment that happened, like, your second year in the queue with Moncton, you went from 45 points to, I think it was about 128 or 9 or so. Like, was there a moment in there when you're like, I really can do this?
Yeah, there was. It's kind of a unique story. Sorry for my dog. He's gonna get taken out of the room in a second here.
He can probably be a co-host at one point, so it's okay.
No, he doesn't have the behaviors for that. There is a unique moment of the year. I was supposed to get drafted in 2014. I had broken my wrist in a game in Cape Breton, but and I wasn't having the greatest season ever. But leading up to that point, there was about 10 games where I had, maybe 20, 25 points. And I just felt the league had slowed down for me. That's the Quebec League. And, you know, I really felt confident about my game. And I remember breaking my wrist and calling my dad to let him know from the Cape Breton hospital. I just said, you know, I'm not like devastated. I know it's a draft year. This probably eliminates my chances to get drafted, but I feel really confident as myself as a player, and I'll come back next year and stay on this run. And, you know, I felt the league had slowed down for me at a good time. And, you know, I really, really thought I would take the next step.
So I was going to wait and ask the question, but now that Landon brought up the Wildcats, with everything that's going on in the world of junior hockey and college hockey these days, to have a kid coming out of suburban Boston, mm-hmm. With more than two great hockey programs in college in that area, and you go to junior hockey. How does that work?
Well, I was actually committed to Penn State as well. So, you know, before it was a thing, now it's the big school. But I fell in love with the city of Moncton when I went and visited it at 16. I got taken in the sixth round there, gave it a visit that summer. The coach had watched me play in a tournament in actually New Brunswick. He asked if I'd come play in it just to see me up close. And he felt that if he had the chance to work with me for a few years, he thought there was a really good chance, you know, I could play in the NHL. He coached Steve Sullivan in Sault Ste. Marie. Danny Flynn was the coach. Sure. And he saw a lot of comparables to me and Steve Sullivan, who ended up being my development coach in Arizona. So that worked out pretty well. But I just fell in love with the city and that coach. And, you know, Ivan Barbashev was coming from Russia and kind of promised to play with him for 3 to 4 years. So it seemed like a great opportunity and something at the time I couldn't pass up.
I'm curious, a guy like Barbashev, you maintain your friendship with Ivan?
Yes, of course. He didn't speak great English the first year. And then I would say by years 2 and 3, we had a really deep playoff run our last year together. You know, we became pretty close and obviously the same division now, mm-hmm. but yeah, when I first kind of got in the league, he was someone who texted me a lot, when we talked and then, you know, after we see, you know, play, we'll see each other. He has a boy, a couple kids now. So yeah, we've gotten a lot older, but it's great. Always great to see him.
Have you always been that, like the same player you are now in the sense of like, you obviously have high skill and you know how to use it, but like that fire when you don't have the puck to go get it back, like go hunt it down. Like you as a little kid, was that the same player or is that something you learned to use your engine a little more as you got older?
I think I've always been that player in the sense of, you know, if I don't have the puck, I want it. And I want to make an impact with my feet. I think where it's grown as a player is on the defensive side. And that's a credit to the coaches I've got along the way. Where, you know, you produce points in junior and no one's really on you about playing defensively and you're kind of left alone on the other side of the red line. But when I got pro, obviously it doesn't work that way. So, you know, I had someone just explain it that way. Just, you know, defend with your feet and the same tenacity you have forechecking, just use it back checking and on the walls in your own end. And, you know, I fortunately have come a long way in that department.
How much of that to do is with your size?
I don't know. I would say it's more of my just competitive nature of just how I was brought up. You know, I played baseball till I was, you know, pretty old. And, you know, that was one of the things everybody used to say, like, I'd always be running. I'd always, if the pitch came, I'd always still do my routine. I just always had that competitive and I'm always moving. And, you know, I don't like losing. So if you're not moving your feet, you're not helping your team. And I just enjoy trying to help us win.
So let's go back to the Canucks. What makes returning to the Canucks so attractive?
Oh, it's a big hockey market. It's a beautiful city. I really gotten into my routine and what I like about the city, and it works for me. It works for my wife, my son and dog enjoy it. So on the personal side, it's very easy. On the hockey side,
you don't mind getting identified at Costco?
I don't mind it actually. You know, as I say to my wife, sometimes someone will come over at a restaurant or, you know, on our walks. And I always say, I'm going to be 45 years old one day and, you know, sitting in a diner and nobody's going to say a word to me and maybe you'll miss it at that point. So I enjoy playing in a big market and I do enjoy the fan interactions when we have them. So, but there's a lot. There was a lot you know, I honestly didn't even do like a pros and cons list, 'cause I didn't see anything where it was like, there's no decision to be made not to do it.
So there was never a contemplation that July 1st you were going to the market?
Well, I extended. Right. I have a year left. Right. So I could have played the year out and gone to the market, but no, there was, I really enjoyed there. I think we have a really good team. I think our D core is one of the best in the league. Our goalie tandem is for sure the best in the league. Our forwards need to take a step, you know, on the inside. A lot of us, and myself included, need to, you know, play better this year and be more consistent. You know, I felt I had a good start to the year, maybe the first 50 games, but fizzled on the way out. So I'd love to come back and be more consistent. We have a lot of guys having inner talks about that want to have big years this year. So, you know, if we make an addition or two, I don't see any reason why we're not a team that has a couple cracks at winning the cup over the next 7 years. So I was really excited about coming back, and I was fortunate they wanted me to come back as well.
On the topic of consistency, you said something to me this year when we were chatting in the dressing room. I asked, what's your thought process offensively? You know, you're having a big year and doing well again. And you said something along the lines, and fix it up for me, but of, you know, if I can make 3 to 4 plays in a game, like, I'm not going to be in a slump for long. Like, how did you get to that, you know, kind of mindset?
I think that came from playing in junior and producing a lot. And, you know, I think it's a big advantage. You know, everybody's produced points, but I think it's really hard to go to the NHL and never really have a big year ever and understand what it takes to score a bunch of points. And, you know, it's a lot about just creating chances night in and night out. And I always found that if I created 5 or 6 great A's a night in junior, you know, good nights, I'll walk out with 3 or 4, bad nights, you know, 0 or 1. And, in the NHL, it's a little different. But I always say, if I can create, you know, 4 great A's a night, or, you know, good chances, 4 good plays in the offensive zone, then I feel that, you know, I can, you know, 1, create momentum for our team, and 2, you know, you can help produce. And some nights 2 or 3 might go in, then you might have a road trip where only 1 goes in, but hey, you still created some chances and you're building on something.
You mentioned about how you got off to a good start the first 50 games, and that kind of coincides. You guys went 7-1-1 before the Four Nations. You guys were, people said, oh, Canucks are, they're finally hitting form. Everything's going in the right direction. And then after the tournament, things just didn't click. Could you put your finger on it?
Well, we obviously didn't play up to where we wanted to. But we also, you know, were not bad luck. The Blues won about 14 in a row.
Yeah, they did.
And then you were kind of chasing them the whole rest of the way, where, you know, it might have been a little different had we, you know, just won a couple and stayed a little tighter. But the gap got so big that you're almost playing must-win hockey for such a long stretch. So, but we didn't come out of the gate strong after the break. We had a couple games where, you know, we could have closed them out a little better. Utah, Vegas, we were 1-1 going into the third. So there was a couple games right out of the gate where we gave them away. And then it felt like we were just, you know, almost swimming upstream the rest of the way.
How many discussions have you had with Adam Foote so far?
Quite a bit. Always good. Someone, you know, I had an idea in my head today, and I call him, and we just talk briefly about it. Nothing like system or anything like that. Just something about being in the rink, and you know, he's so open to everything, and you know, he's easy to work with, and someone I enjoyed having an assistant, and can't wait to have him as head coach.
So that was actually part of the question. This is actually quite a big advantage for the club to have a guy who's familiar with most of the roster, been around you for a couple of years, him making the next step as well, correct?
Yeah. I think it's a big advantage for guys that have been here for, you know, 3 years. I think that first year with him and talk, he was really helpful for a lot of guys who were struggling that year. And, you know, myself, Brock, and he's, you know, got to know us a lot better as people, you know, more than just players. So, you know, I'm really excited. I know a lot of the guys were thrilled when we made that decision, and, you know, feels like we can just build on something with him. And, you know, I'm excited for him to get the opportunity as well.
And in your conversations with him, you know, obviously you need to focus on your own stuff and be a play driver like you are for this team. But, you know, you're going to be, I believe, hitting 500 games this season. You know, you've been around a bit now. Like, what do you see and what is, you know, maybe he's wanting from you dealing with, you know, there's going to be a decent amount of young guys coming to the lineup. Like, where do you see yourself fitting in and trying to be that role model or where at?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've had those conversations about, you know, taking that next step. But for me, it's I think I do things naturally that, you know, I learned from older guys about how to be a professional, you know, how to work at your game constantly, being in the gym, you know, getting on the ice early for practice or staying late, doing the same drills I like to do to get my touches and try to show the young guys in that sense. And then I hopefully will grow, you know, as, you know, whether I'm more vocal or, you know, just show them, you know, by my work ethic, but that will be something that I'll hopefully grow into. And, you know, I'm sure him, Mizey, you know, Marcus Pettersson, Forbee, guys like that will help me along the way as well.
And, you know, you said, obviously you had guys that helped you, you know, I know one of them was your first roommate in Tucson and Craig Cunningham, who's, you know, one of my oldest and best friends. And I know you guys have a good friendship as well. You know, he said that, you know, the minute that he got around you, he could tell you loved hockey and you loved working at it. So you're right up his alley. Like, how important is it, though, for having those guys to look ahead that have been through it a bit already and kind of put you at ease whenever you have questions coming at that? You know, you're now 9 years into it.
Yeah, thinking back at where I was when I met him is pretty funny. I mean, I didn't even know about like stretching before games or at night or how to eat well. So I learned a lot of the basics just from him and how detailed he was in his craft. And then he was probably sick of rooming with me. You know, he was the captain of our Roadrunner team and I was 20 years old and we'd sit on the couch watching games and I'd be asking him a million questions. He probably just want to sit there, you know, and quiet, but he was the best. And, you know, for me, I was just always trying to be a sponge around the rink. And he was a guy that, you know, was an easy guy to follow and learn a lot of good habits from.
You're suggesting that your diet as a Wildcat is different than your diet as a Canuck?
Yeah, my diet as a Wildcat was Tim Hortons for breakfast. And, you know, maybe if I ate well, I had like a chicken parm for dinner. But I was a mess back then. So yeah, I was shocked to see him get up early and make a smoothie and eat well. And, so, you know, I'm still stopping at Brugger's Bagels in Tucson on the way to the rink.
Well, he said also to make sure that, you know, you're saying you started to learn a little bit better, but he said you guys got into those Trader Joe's ice cream sandwiches pretty good.
The ice cream sandwiches, yeah. I didn't know how to cook yet. So his job was to cook and I did all the cleaning. And I just remember he'd always be on the couch with his Normatex and I'd have to bring him an ice cream sandwich before they shut it down. So it was the greatest routine we had.
Hey, I got to ask you about the World Championships this year, because you talk about leadership. First of all, the fact that when they told you were going to be an assistant captain, what did that mean? That must have meant something to you. And what was that experience like after a disappointing NHL regular season to go and win the gold medal at the Worlds?
Yeah. It really was, you know, I can't really put into words how great it was. You know, obviously when they announced the captain, Clayton Keller, he was the best man in my wedding. And then I think they said I was assistant next. So just that having that connection was pretty unbelievable. And then the group, we were oddly tight, as like some of us were even texting today about something. And it's just crazy to see how tight we got after such a short period of time. But we did do a lot of activities together. We golfed, played cards every day. Seemed like we were always out just walking as a group, visiting, you know, cities. And, you know, I think that really paid off at the end. You know, when the dog days of that tournament hit, and you know, our group really didn't budge. So we had a great team. It was a blast. And you know, that overtime winner, I mean, I would have loved to have had it end earlier, but to finish on a note like that was just unbelievable.
It was a pretty good shot by Tage, huh?
I didn't watch it. I was someone sent me the video, was giving me a hard time about it because everybody on the bench is standing, but I'm sitting and I'm just like, I couldn't even breathe. And I just listened to Adam Nightingale behind us. He said, you know, I remember hearing him as it formed into a 2-on-1 saying, you know, effing bury it, kid. And then all I could hear was him start yelling. So I just left the bench. So it was a perfect ending.
So it's a great stepping stone to Italy. Do you think you have a realistic chance to play on the American team?
I don't know. That's not up for me to decide. As I said, if anyone asked me about the Four Nations, I just said, I just hope that when those decisions come that my name's in it and, maybe you make it a hard decision, but they got such a large player pool. I was there with just some guys that people, probably don't even have on their radars that were fantastic players. And, it's a good thing for USA Hockey that we have so many guys. But no, it's not really something I'm too worried about, but I'd love just to, like I said, I'd love to make it a hard decision. And that means I'm playing well and, most likely our team's playing well. So, that would be, an unbelievable thing. But, I understand how hard that would be to make.
Back to your mindset again, because just the little bit I've got to talk to you this year, you think about the game a really different way. And honestly, I find it really interesting. And another thing that you said was treating the D zone like the O zone, using the corners to escape. And was that from a coach or is that just you watching a bunch of hockey and seeing that there's pockets of free ice all over as long as you're able to move to them? Where does that come from? Because again, I'd never thought about it in that sense before.
Yeah. I think it's just, one from watching and watching the best players. I think there's always something to take from the best in the world. I obviously will never skate like MacKinnon, but he does some things that you can copy. I think Kucherov's probably the easiest to watch to be able to add things just because of how well he thinks the game. But yeah, I think, maybe watch something and then, I can remember playing in the American League and thinking, I think I got more time out here and then grabbing a puck and holding it and then looking up and be like, oh, there is, and there's just times, even in the NHL, there's a click, in your brain where it's like, oh, I can actually get away with that now. So, but I think it is just watching and studying and, I'm not the biggest, I'm not the fastest. So I have to try to get as any advantage I can. I think a lot of that is just studying and seeing what other great players do.
So in saying that, are you one of those guys on an off night, you're sitting home watching hockey?
I do, yeah. Well, I also have some really close friends around the league. I watch a lot of the Utah games, the Blackhawks. I'm very close to Ryan Donato. I watch his games. So, Jacob Chychrun's on Washington. I watched him. So Bo Horvat. So I always like watching my buddies and just seeing how they're doing. But you end up watching so many games, during the week that I think it helps you.
When you came back from the Worlds, were you watching the playoffs?
I watched a little. That's harder to watch. As a kid, it was the greatest to watch people win the cup. Now it's not so fun, but I did have to watch a little bit. I think I started watching game five, the Edmonton series, maybe game four Edmonton series.
Well, we'll get back to a few other questions, but that leads me to 2011. So I assume you were a Bruin fan?
The biggest, yes.
How many times have you had to answer for, Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, Zdeno Chara, Tim Thomas in Vancouver?
Yeah, quite a bit my first year. I didn't understand the hatred they had. So,
How about
yeah.
have?
It yeah, still have.
It's not still, gone, man.
No, which is impressive. But yeah, that was a great time for me. I was so young. I was kind of in my prime of being a Bruins fan. And, I was just obsessed. And, they had a couple tough defeats in that playoff run. They just, win game seven in round one in overtime, sweep the Flyers after the losing the 3-0. And then Tampa was another great series. They won in seven on a late Nathan Horton goal in game seven. So it was – and then obviously back then – Vancouver seemed like they could not be beat. So it felt like a great, great upset. Now talking to Hank and Danny about how many injuries they were dealing with, it makes more sense and how banged up they were. But the Bruins were a wagon of wagons. So it was that was a great team.
Who was your guy?
On that team?
Yeah.
I was a big Bergeron fan. Krejci was someone I watched a lot and tried to learn from. Marchand, it's weird he's still playing, but he was obviously a smaller guy that I looked up to play for the Bruins because not a lot of small guys played for the Bruins. So those are probably my three guys.
Weirdy's still playing. Just signed a new 6-year deal.
I know. It's just tough. I can't say he was one of my favorites because I still got to play him, and I still got to get hit from him a bunch of times.
The other fascination for me is you got a new teammate in Evander Kane, and I'm a trivia freak. So Evander Kane, I think, is the last Thrasher, the last Atlanta Thrasher to play in the NHL. And now you're going to be part of a dying breed as a Coyote. Now there's still a few Coyotes and lots of your friends, but are you a believer in Phoenix as a hockey town?
I am. I think if the rink wasn't in Glendale, they would still be there.
Yeah. You had a good time there?
I loved it. I really did. I thought the way of life was amazing. You're in the sun every day. I felt like we were growing something before COVID stopped, and then it kind of changed the trajectory of the career. Of the organization. But I think if they were in Phoenix or Scottsdale, like they were trying to, I think the team would still be there. It's obviously easier said than done, but I still think it's a good hockey market.
So we're sitting here July 10th today. Like, are you a guy that jumps right back on the ice, weeks ago, or are you one that takes a bit of time? And then, just to double up on that, like, is there something like specific that you're really trying to like hone in and work on this summer? Or is it just, general maintaining and kind of trying to push across the board?
I took 10 days off after Worlds. Usually I don't take much time off of the ice. I take more time off from the gym. I'm not the biggest fan of, working out. I do it, but that feels like the only part of my job where it's a chore. Where skating, I enjoy skating so much. And, I just like to go out there, whether it's by myself or men's league or pro leagues. I just love being on the ice. But am I working on anything? I don't know. I'm trying, I was on the PK this year, so I'm working at faceoffs. To be able to go out there on that first unit this year, I wasn't able to go out just in case that guy gets kicked out. So you want to be able to take draws, adequately and be able to snap a few back and not just get murdered in there. So, just continuing to work on my all around game. There's always room to improve. I have, a couple personal coaches that I work with and, hopefully I try to come back every year and be a better player. So hopefully I can do that again.
It was funny, a couple of years ago when you played with Bluger and Joshua, I thought you guys were the third best line in hockey. Best third line in hockey. I think Adam Lowry's line in Winnipeg was pretty good, but you guys were on the same level. And but you've worked your way into being higher in the lineup than that now. Don't you think?
I think I can play anywhere in the lineup. In Arizona, I was first line.
You used to drive the Oilers nuts, Connor. You remember that? You used to score all the time.
Yeah. But I think the way I play, I can play on any line. And, me and Footy have had conversations about that. And, I have no problem wherever I am on the lineup board. It's whether it's with Dak and Teddy or Petey or, Phil Hedel, I'm excited to play with any of them, but you just try to bring your A game. And I thought the year me and Teddy and Dak were together, our forwards were really good. We were strength of our team, and we got a lot of the weaker matchups, and I felt like we handled those pretty well. But and then the year went on, we started taking some second line matchups, and we still did a great job. They're terrific players, and if we're aligned again this year, I think we do a really, really good job as well.
So like you're in the off season now, like eventually you do have to kind of turn your brain off of hockey and just have that reset, even though you're still working through stuff on the ice. Like what's your thing you love to do outside of hockey, especially in the summer to, enjoy yourself, but have that reset as well.
Well, I don't know if you can see it above my head, but that's my golf shelf at the top. So those are my golf trophies. The rest are my world championships and my junior stuff. So that's my time away from hockey. And I enjoy playing in tournaments.
What are you playing to?
Sorry?
What are you playing to?
Right now I'm a 7-9, but that's a little low to win any tournament. So we got to start. We got to start missing some putts here. Get it up to like an 8.5. But I have a tournament this weekend. I try to play in like Saturday, Sunday tournaments. A couple I remember at Marshfield and Scituate. So you got member guests or member members, and I love playing in them and competitive golf. And I feel like that keeps my competitive, you know, juices in the summer. And I kind of work at hockey all week, and then Saturday, Sunday is my golf day.
Okay, what's on your playlist then? What's your music?
On the course?
Yeah, you got to put out. You got to have a playlist on your golf cart, right?
I don't listen to music. Nice and quiet. Nice and quiet. Talk out my shots.
Oh,
yeah. Me and my partner. He's my partner in everything, and he's kind of the same way. We like just to talk everything out, play slow, and you know, we got a good thing going.
Your entertainment is the competition, eh? Like, you don't need any extra help out there. Like,
you're dialed in, eh? And he's the same way. So he's the greatest. Yeah, we have a good time. We got the same routine. He picks me up at my house. We go to the course about an hour early, sit there, have a good day. And, you know, we haven't won anything this summer. We won a couple last year, but nothing. We've gotten blank so far this summer.
That sounds pretty good to me. Hey, by the way, how many times did you call Besser to make sure he signed?
a few. I think he was in Europe, so we texted a lot. And then the day he got home, he actually called me, but he was probably on the phone about 30 minutes longer than he wanted to be. So and the last day we were calling back and forth, his agents calling him, and we're hanging up, but we were glad to get it done. It was he's a big part of our locker room. He's a big part of our team, and that's a great signing for us.
I always think it's fascinating, you know, the three big signings for the Vancouver Canucks are three Americans. I think it's great. It's great.
Yeah. And obviously Thatch too. I think when he's healthy, I think he's one of the best goalies in the world, if not the best. You know, there's a video of him skating around the ice with his son in the summer, and I showed my wife, and I was like, "Just look how big he is! Like, it's a scary thing when you're coming down on that in practice." So I'm fortunate. I'll never play against him. That's a good thing for me.
Last question to you, Landon.
Or just leave it at, like, going into training camp. What's something you're most optimistic about this group? Like, something that really gets you excited as you head back into training camp in a couple months here.
Well, I think we'll be in the hunt. So I think that excites anybody. You know, I've been on teams before, in Arizona when, you're not making the playoffs and you're just going back. And, I feel like we're going to be in the hunt this year right from the start. So, and for us, training camp's a huge thing. We got to get in shape. We got to get playing the style we want right from game one. So it's a huge task for us this year in training camp, and we'll be focused and we're excited. We had a good talk today with our leadership group, and I think that gets anybody excited when you're training in the summer. You feel the weight of those guys, the leadership group, the rest of the team, you know, our coaches, our city, you know, you feel it a little bit when you're starting to train. So kind of amps up at this time of the summer.
I said last question, but you tweaked something there. So that leadership group talks all the time through the summer?
We've talked, I mean, maybe twice as a group, but I mean, I talked to Quinn, a couple times a week, Mizey. I talk to the guys in the group one-on-one, probably a couple times a week, mostly about life and how we're doing. But, and then we talk as a group. Yeah, we've talked as a group a couple times now.
Well, thank you for this, Connor. It was great. And thanks for reminding me that we met in Quebec City at the Memorial Cup in 2015. I'm an old man. I forget.
Don't worry. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
That's Connor Garland of the Vancouver Canucks. Landon and I'll be back after this. Landon, you know, when you look at this roster and you look at a guy like Connor Garland, his role, you look at Sherwood and his role, you look at what Evander Kane's supposed to do, you look at Dakota Joshua, this is not going to be a shy hockey club, is it?
No, like they've quickly got themselves into a spot where you should have a guy almost on every line now that can really drive play, but not only that, gets into the middle of the ice. You know, you heard Connor talking about as a forward group, like we need to get to the inside more. Well, those are four guys that do it consistently. And the hope there is that as you add more of that sandpaper and they get to the inside, well, there's only one option. Your line mate's got to follow you in. So if you can keep filling up your team with more of these guys that have that ability to pull you into the fight a little bit, you know, they sense when the game, when their team isn't, you know, quite as dialed in as they should be, or attention to detail. And all of a sudden, those guys are kind of starting something after a whistle, or going in and making that big hit, something to really kind of jar the team back to life a bit. And I think adding those players and getting Garland extended, like those are really good pieces for this team.
Boy, I was really impressed in what his attitude was about the hockey club, you know, because I think that the frustration coming out of Four Nations was that they just didn't get it done. But there really is a belief that this team is much better than their record indicated, isn't there?
It really is. And you talk to some of the guys, like, again, you know, we've said it, I believe, last episode of, like, a lot went wrong last year. And there were...
No, everything went wrong last year.
Everything. But some of them could have been handled differently within the room. And I think all the guys have learned from that. But a lot of it was injury and just circumstances that really pushed the year the wrong direction. And they know that they have a group that is far better than what they showed last year. And now, and hearing Connor talk about it, like, it's almost like something that through the summer here, like, they're using that as motivation of not to prove people wrong, but to almost prove themselves right, mm-hmm. that they have a better group, that they have more to offer. Guys are going to come back stronger, better ready for training camp, and hopefully get off to that, you know, quick start that every team needs, especially, you know, putting together that really good start to the year before, you know, American Thanksgiving, to where, you know, that's the first good chunk of games. And it's amazing how looking at the season at that point can really show you what's going to happen the rest of the year for the most part.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to watch, and we will continue to discuss it as the summer goes along before things get really rolling. And by the way, we talked about the Okanagan at the top. Interesting to see that they're going back to Penticton for part of training camp.
Yeah, and I know
They're not going to Trail, they're going to Penticton, you know.
Price was too high in Trail. We got too much to offer. That's why.
Well, and by the way, next week on the show, Braden Coutts will be on the show, the first round pick, number 15 overall at the draft in Los Angeles a couple of weeks back. We'll be on this show with Landon, with me, John Shannon. This is 100% Canucks. We'll talk to you next week.